Hello, everybody, and welcome to our new podcast, In AI We Trust? My name is Henry Jackson.
My name is Angela Gales.
And my name is Mario Martinez.
And we are three second-year Sciences Po students who are working on a digital culture project.
As part of our project, we want to explore artificial intelligence and its implications in the legal field. More specifically, we have discovered that since 2018, Estonia has a chief data officer who takes care of digitalizing governance and, in particular, the legal field.
What they're really trying to do is design a robot judge that will be able to, you know, adjudicate fairly cases of a value less than 7,000 euro. And the whole idea behind this is, you know, that then human judges and lawyers will be able to solve tougher problems that, you know, need their human skills, and they won't be preoccupied with these more routine problems. And it's really interesting what the president of Estonia says in this regard. She said, "I want to specialize in being a warm, compassionate human being. For that, we need AI to be safe and demonstrably safe."
So our greatest question is to analyze the recent developments in AI in that domain and see how the implications that these developments have and whether these developments are actually fully possible in a field so specific and subjective as law.
So we would try to look at what's happening right now and try to understand what will happen in the future, observing like cases such as the one mentioned, Estonia. And
yeah, and so what's the question that we're going to try and answer throughout this podcast more concretely?
Well, the specific question is, to what extent is there space for artificial intelligence in the legal domain, and is there actually really space for artificial intelligence as it is in a domain such as law that is so, you know, interpretative and subjective and so moral in the end, right?
Yeah, I mean, this question about whether AI can be applied in law, I mean, that for me that's also like a benchmark, right? I mean, if it can overcome this benchmark where of something that's so complex and in a way so human, to, as these decision making about what our morals are and what fairness is, I mean, in a way, if it can overcome that, I mean, then what is the boundary of AI? So in that sense, it's a very interesting topic that we hope to present to you.
The legal definition that's currently hot here in Europe, it would be the Council of Europe's, the Commission for the Efficiency of Justice definition, which is some sort of scientific methods, theories, or techniques which aim is to reproduce and by a machine the cognitive abilities that us humans have.
So it's kind of like an umbrella term that encompasses lots of different technologies that are capable of mimicking human traits. And that's exactly really what the emphasis of AI is on. It's on trying to allow machines to perform complex tasks that previously were carried out or delegated to humans. I mean, it's not necessarily something, you know, like what you see in the movies, right, where it's like these very complex thinking machines that can do every single task, right? Sometimes it's just one very simple task, and that can already suffice for being AI. So these more comprehensive versions of AI, what we call like strong AI, but really there's some very more narrow AIs that try and just do very like one very simple task.
Or in general, AI is also what we use every day. For example, our computer, in a more narrow sense, that also is artificial intelligence. That also is a tool, and in or our phones or any instrument we use that is quicker than us in you know, being a tool for specific tasks. But then we also have, for example, wider AI, which can be what we're tackling here: algorithms that are programmed to respond to, for example, a legal problem here.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's also a little bit of a limit of the AI today, right? So, I mean, current AI technology tends to work very well when you have very strict underlying patterns and very like kind of yes-no questions, But it doesn't work so well within these areas where you have things that are more abstract and conceptual, that are more, you know, based on values. So, and really require some sort of maybe human common sense. So.
Yeah, well, that's really interesting, because that's exactly where we want to go in the end, right? Is there really a fair... Is a fair outcome, a human outcome, really possible with a yes or no answer? Do we require law to just be yes, no, right, wrong? Or is there much more to law than just a yes or a no?
And sometimes these kinds of decision makings they have to make in law aren't only yes, no. I mean, like, for example, you know, if a government has to decide, you know, to put... a homeless shelter in one neighborhood versus in another neighborhood, and it's not a yes-no question. But then at the end of the day, what we see, what's happening right now, is there are tons and tons of what you call legal tech firms that are trying to develop artificial intelligence that can tackle precisely these types of decisions. And especially in the US, but also in Europe and countries like Germany, you know, there's thousands and thousands of firms that are working to create this sort of legal technology that's supposed to aid the domain of law.
But you mentioned a very important term which we haven't actually defined yet, which is legal tech. How would you define it?
I would think legal tech is like at the vanguard of the legal system. It's these types of firms, these types of lawyers that are attempting to use new mechanisms to process the data, which is very important to get to decisions, to get to rulings, and they're using it in their advantage. They are like pushing the limits of what the legal system actually is.
And to me, this is quite surprising, because while highly repetitive jobs, you know, are very likely to get automated, you know, jobs that require you know, human interaction and high social intelligence and creativity, and, you know, have very unpredictable environments, you know, they might be more resistant to automation. But it's interesting, because there was a study done in 2013 that showed that among 702 occupations, judges were at rank 271 for, like, their ability to be replaced by computers. So, you know, that's the very first thing you think of when you come to legal technology, is that maybe one day there will be robots that will be able to make the decisions in the place of humans.
It will also be important to mention that artificial intelligence is just not for decisions themselves. It's also to help these lawyers, like legal tech, get to those decisions,
yeah,
processing lots of data.
Doing research and automating some of this, you know, very administrative work, right?
Exactly.
And that also has many implications also in
that
terms...
that are positive as well.
Yeah.
I mean, who, you know, having a computer doing such precise and just repetitive work might also be a value added.
So when what we're really looking at is we have a vast variety of different applications for AI in law, and it's a little bit of a tightrope, right? You need to find the balance. You need to find the point where we say, like, this is where we can't go any further. This is where we need the human element to remain. And so, you know, that's what we're trying to do in this podcast. We're trying to test the waters of what these technologies are on a really case-by-case basis. It's different implications, and find that perfect balance of where we, you know, that's where we need to stop with this automation.
And we're also trying to get rid insofar as we can, of that terrible idea of AI that we have, that has been given to us, you know, through movies and, you know, these AI...
Science fiction,
exactly.
Yes.
These AI huge robots that control us, huge computers that take away what is human within us. Like, we want to get rid of this and really actually practically see how we can apply artificial intelligence in the domain of law. So making a machine that is as good as a human, is that really possible in that domain?
Is that what we want?
Is that what we want as well? That's a great question.
That's the aim of law. I mean, so we're going to structure this podcast. It will be multiple episodes. Each one will look into a certain case study, something that's happening right now, and then we're going to discuss the implications of that. And our next episode, we're going to talk about, in particular, the economic implications of it. You know, what does this mean for the access to law, and what does it mean for the labor market of lawyers? So that's something you can look forward to in our next episode.
Then we will, of course, tackle the huge question about whether the bias of AI. So is AI less biased than a human? Is it actually? Can we say it is? Or are the biases just different? And what does this mean?
Do we want a lawyer to be completely unbiased? Is that even their goal?
And after that, we'll tackle implications in legal philosophy, which seem essential, and to examine which we have decided to interview our professor of constitutional law last year, Eleonora Bottini, who will give us an idea of what it means for the concrete meaning of law if we take away the moral and human aspect. And after that, lastly, we will tackle predictive justice and what actually happens once we can predict the outcomes of human justice, of human judges, whether that's, you know, how you can use that and what it means for the system, for the legal system in itself. And after that, lastly, in our last and fifth and last podcast, we will conclude and give our ideas and our predictions and our conclusions insofar as to our question, that is, whether there is space for artificial intelligence in settling legal disputes in court.
Yep, so I hope you enjoyed our first episode and we got you somewhat excited for what is to come. We're looking forward to discussing it very much with you. And yeah, we'll see you next time.
Stay tuned.